This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. ما قال النبي هو الصحيح نكاح مبارك As you walk together hand in hand Allah has given you a companion and friend To stand and always be seen As man and wife fulfilling the deen From this day on forever be true أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Talking about love is ultimately talking about male and female relationship. And this is what we will be considering before we go more directly into the topic of love. That male and female relationship, talking about love, ultimately, this is what we're talking about. As you can see that the male-female relationship is the most fundamental relationship in the world. Can't have any motherhood, can't have any brotherhood, can't have any sisterhood, can't have any sibling relationship, can't have any marital relationship, can't have in-laws, unless we begin at that very fundamental, most fundamental male-female relationship. So speaking about it, we're almost talking about the very, very basic, and that in itself is a good reason. Not only this, but male-female relationship dictates and shapes what kind of a society we are going to have. How do men treat women? How do women treat men? What kind of families do we have? What is the role of the woman? What is the role of the man? Ultimately, all these things are going to have an impact on what kind of a society do we have going on for us. It also shapes our capacity for resistance. Now, this is a very nice concept, especially when we talk about sociology. Many times, people's ability to resist, and here by that we mean to resist oppression, to resist being marginalized, to resist many things. Believe it or not, it stems from this idea, from this concept of male-female relationship. So for example, if you study slave families, be they in North America or in South America or in parts of the Middle East or in Europe, that will tell you the ability of these slave families and how they were able to resist or not resist was really based on how did they relate to one another as males and females. And also, male-female relationship reflects on the family. Obviously, the male is going to be the father, the female is going to be the mother, and as such, they will have children, daughters and sons. But eventually, the family starts with male-female relationship. So when we speak about this, we're actually talking also about the future, such as the children, the offspring, and what is going to happen to them. And of course, when we have strong families, that is going to reflect on the nation that we will have. Nation, happy families make our happy couples, make happy families. Strong families make a strong nation. Strong nations make strong societies. Maybe, inshallah, we'll have a happier world as such. But again, these are the basic components of why are we talking about male-female relationship. Simply because it is this type of relationship or it is this relationship that is the most fundamental. And ultimately, when we speak about love, we're talking about how do male-female relationship works out. Now, generally speaking, we said that we are attracted, we will be attracted at some point in our lives, to somebody from the opposite sex. The question is, there are personal factors, such as, what kind of a person do you like? What kind of a personality do you get along with? But believe it or not, also as we are making these choices, or as we think that we're making these choices, there are non-personal factors that are going to affect this type of choice that we are making. And not only the choice that we make, but also how our perception of male-female relationship is shaped. For example, economics. How does this reflect on male-female relationship? Well, remember, see, what we're talking about is that not necessarily what would happen, but how does that shape? How does that shape to begin with? It's not about whether families are going to be happy or not, but how does my economic status, how does it shape my understanding of a relationship? What happens is that we use it to define the roles of the others. So for example, in some areas, women are known to be doing 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that is it. And men are known to be doing 1, 2, and 3 for the economic and the financial well-being of the family. Such as, the men go out there and they hunt, they bring the food, and what do women do? They go, they collect the water, and they come back. There was actually an article that spoke about women in Ethiopia. And they said that women in Ethiopia, as they go and get the water, they needed to bring the water for the family. And in many some African villages, that is still the case. The women would go out there and they would do so. And, you know, if you have never been into that situation where you have to walk miles before you get to the water and then come back, it does something. And not only this, but if I remember correctly in the article, they were talking about men being so lazy that even when they're not working and the women were sick, they would not even do that simply because in society that was a woman's job and they could not participate in doing something like this. So what we do is that via economics, we define what male-female relationship is going to be like. In addition to economics, media plays a big role as well. You know, one thing about the media is that when people watch TV, they think that TV sells products only. The only thing that we think TV does is that it sells us products. In reality, TV does not only sell products, it also sells what?
Ideas.
It also sells ideas. And some of the ideas that are out there on TV are good ideas, but some of the ideas that are out there are very erroneous, and they ought to be rejected. The sad part is, most of the people, when they watch TV, what do? We put our intellect where? It's on vacation. We are not critical of what we watch. We watch what we watch, and we do not question it. We watch what we watch, and we immediately accept it, and we are influenced by it. So for example, if you were, let's say that you are an alien that came from out of space, and you decided to know about humans, and the only way to know about humans was through TV, so you turn on your TV, what kind of an impression would you compile about men and women? What does the media, what would the media tell you about men and about women? Just about men and women. If you were to just watch TV, and that would be the way to get this. Success depends on how you look, but specifically who? Women. So the success of women is going to be determined from now on by their shape and by their looks. What happens, and who set these looks to begin with? Who set the criterion for beauty? The media did. So if you do not fit the media's description and definition of beauty, you're not beautiful. And if you do, then you are. So the media is not only selling us this. The media sells us definitions about what beauty is. The media sells us definitions of what success is. What is success according to the media? Lots of money, material gain, you are on TV, and all these things. That is success. So the point is, media is also a non-personal factor that shapes and dictates our perception of male and female relationship. If I am a man and I watch TV, what are women for? They're for pleasure, they are to serve, and they're supposed to be what? They are the man's trophy. If you're a politician, what kind of a wife are you supposed to get? Presentable on TV, right? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get somebody that is presentable to the media, okay? So this is what's going on. She has to be subservient, she has to be submissive, she has to be, and you look into all these factors and ideas that the TV is selling us in the process. There is also religion, okay? Well, how does religion factor into this? If you read, for example, Genesis, and in Genesis, what does it tell us about women? That they are guilty of the first sin. So you look into this and you say, what kind of an image would you have about a woman if that's where you get your understanding of who women are? Do you get the point? And sometimes even within our Muslim society, what we do is that we misuse and abuse some of these statements that are made about women, and then our perception of women becomes very what? It's very negative. Any example? Hadith that men love to quote?
One of the hadiths which are often quoted by usually men is that one wherein if a woman goes to sleep and her husband is angry with her, the angels will curse her all night long, which I feel is always, you know, okay. Without...
And how is this abused now? How is it abused? He could be angry for the wrong things, or what else? You relate to a person by taking them on a guilt trip. You use the form of almost fear. Say that, oh yeah, you're not going to make me happy, then what happens? Angels are cursing you.
And elevate the status of the man in that.
Exactly. And now what happens is that it also can erroneously lead to what? Elevating the status of a man simply because now the angels are on your side to the point that what? If the woman makes you angry, then what happens? The angels are going to be cursing her. Okay? So religion can be used or abused or misused as we are talking about the non-personal factors that shape our male-female relationship ideas. And with this, inshallah, we will take a short break and we will be back. So please do stay tuned.